Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with some samples. So if you have read That Sounds Fun, you probably remember the story of me trying to get a dog and then realizing I was allergic. Sad day. And this is why I'm glad I found Claritin D, because an allergy attack is literally the worst. So I am thankful to have it on hand around my friends, pets, and other things. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers, and Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Amen to that. There are also a lot of seasonal allergy sufferers over here at AFD Inc. and at the That Sounds Fun Network. So Claritin D really works for this crew. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It is time to live Claritin clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. So you can find Claritin D at your pharmacy counter. Just ask a pharmacist for Claritin D at the pharmacy counter, and you don't even need a prescription. Just go to Claritin.com right now and you can get a discount so you can live Claritin clear. Use as directed. Friends, welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs. I'm really happy to be here with you today on this Friday. Listen, of course, we got a special bonus episode in store for you. Get ready, because we got a couple of these coming this spring. Today on the show, I get to talk with one of my very favorite worship leaders, Davey Flowers. Y'all, when we said in the AFD Week in Review that Davey was coming on the show, y'all got excited. I know, I love her too. Listen, if you don't know Davey already, consider this the day that you fall in love with her as well. She's a Dallas-based singer-songwriter and worship leader. She serves as a resident artist at the Worship Initiative in Dallas, as well as a worship leader at Watermark Community Church, which we'll talk about. Her music reflects a story of healing and triumph in Jesus, and her passion is to connect broken and weary hearts with the power, presence, and love of God through her songs and worship leading. So Davey's first full-length debut album, I Was Loved, y'all, I need you, you will hear me say it to Davey, I need you to know it makes me sob. It is so beautiful. Y'all are absolutely going to love it. And she's in town, so we sat down and chatted this week. So you got a special bonus on a Friday. I cannot wait for y'all to get to know her. So here's my conversation with the dearest Davey Flowers. Davey, welcome to That Sounds Fun.
Thanks for having me.
I mean, what a treat.
You're my best friend in my head that I've never really hung out with, so it's a moment.
If you knew how much I felt the same way. When people are like, so you and Davey friends, I'm like, such good friends. We've had three conversations, but it feels it. I feel like we've been on tour together, but we haven't.
Yeah, I have genuine love for you.
Thank you.
See you, I'm just like, I love you.
So mutual. It is so mutual. Yeah, yeah. I am so thankful. So you're in Nashville just randomly.
Well, I'm here for a couple of days of having conversations and interviews, a couple of songwriting days.
Yeah.
Pretty packed, but anytime I get to come out here is just a joy and a treat.
Oh, man. I'm so glad.
I'm jealous.
I mean, literally, when your team talked to my team and they were like, she'll be there in days, we were like, we will make it work. I mean, we were like, yes, let's go. I mean, I've been wanting to have you on. Your album, I Was Loved, came out last summer, but dude, this album. Okay, we're going to go there, but we're going to first talk about Dallas and Nashville and life.
Okay, great.
But your album. I told you this when you walked in the door. How am I supposed to talk about this when it makes me sob?
Oh my gosh. I can't believe you've actually listened to my record.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Are you kidding? Okay. We're just going to go there. We're going to talk about other things later.
Okay.
I'm going to read you your own lyrics from I Was Loved. Can I even do this? When all my days are counted, I can't. Look.
Oh my gosh.
Let it be known that it was only Jesus who made it all worth it. Mm. He made it all worth it. When all this is over, I would tattoo this on my body. When all this is over, let it be known I had a better portion than this world affords. What are you doing writing that? What is that? Tell me your story of how we got that song. It just messes me up, man.
Yeah, this song is like very precious to me because it really is my testimony put to lyric and melody.
Yeah.
It's like if there was going to be any banner waved over my story at the end of my days.
Wow.
If there's any statement that's going to encapsulate who Jesus has been to me through the 13 years that I've walked with him, it would be the heart of the song, which is just like God's, the wild, unfathomable, persistent, all-encompassing love of God has found its way to me in some deep valleys, and it's found its way to me in the midst of a lot of trauma, a lot of brokenness.
Yeah.
It found its way to me growing up in a very chaotic environment where there was just a huge void of nurture and unconditional love and care. And just, you know, there's just this song has flowed out of my own story of where God met me and where he found me as this just like really, really broken kid and how the love of God has really shaped and formed my heart and shaped and formed my story and how I view the world and how I live my life. And so it's like two things. It's like the banner of my life is like, I have been loved. I cannot deny that no matter what angle I look at it. If I'm processing through all the hard, all the disappointments, all the failures, all the lack, everything that's been missing, all the imperfection. And the one thing the common thread that I cannot deny is that God has loved me lavishly in an extravagant amount of ways on so many different levels. So he's loved me well. And then just the sufficiency of Jesus. Like, it's like I decided when I was 13, 14 years old that I was going to be all in with Jesus. And that's come at a high cost. It's like I've made a lot of sacrifices because I truly believe that he's worthy. I did back then and I still do today. And it's like even through all the years, you know, I'm 35 now and it's like I can testify, I can raise my hand and say with full conviction that he is not disappointed, you know, and it's like he's been worth it, you know, and it's like, who knows where or what my life would be outside of this friendship with Jesus that I've built my whole life on for all these years. And what I can say is like, he truly has been sufficient for my joy. He's been sufficient for my peace. He's been sufficient for my satisfaction and for my delight. And so I wanted to invite the world into how I view who God is and who he's been to me. And it's just like, he's just an unrelenting, loving friend. And that is, it's just been the most beautiful foundation to be able to build my life on these past 13 years or so.
As someone who's not married yet, you and I both are not married yet, and all of our friends listening have something they want that they don't have, right? So for you to say, I am telling you, this is the path, looking back on the path I would have chosen this, there are so many of our friends listening, and some days me too, of I would never pick this. If I got to pick, here's what it would look like. When did that switch for you from I wouldn't have picked this to, oh, actually, for what I've gained, I would have picked this?
Yeah. I mean, it's really been like the past few years. It's like once I got past the threshold of 30, it's like all the perspective opened up. It's like the angst just started to dial down. And he's something about crossing over 30 where you're just like, I probably am who I'm going to be at this point. You know what I'm saying? And where you just like have the ability, you all of a sudden have eyes to see what is true. Whereas when I was in my 20s, it's just like everything is distorted and it's just a whirlwind trying to make sense of like what's actually going on here. So, I don't know. I remember specifically whenever I turned, it was like 32 or 33, I was sitting at my piano in my room. And it was on my birthday. And I was like, I want to sing a song from my heart to the Lord on this day. And I sang, I said, I gave you my youth and Jesus, you have not disappointed. After all these years, after all the life I've lived, after all these tears, you're still the one. And just the reality that like, I guess I could find some things that are missing, you know, like when I look back through my story. But as far as the well or the spring from which I have drawn like my sense of validation and affirmation and acceptance and identity and purpose, it's all come from, I love to kind of my banner passage for my life is in Ephesians 1, where it says that he predestined us to adoption before the foundation of the world. And it says to me that like, before I was even a thought, God just decided eons ago that he was going to set his affections on me and that I was going to be his kid, you know, and that is more firmer foundation than anything. That means that my friendship with God, the ground that I'm standing on in him and with him, it's not attached to my performance. It's not attached to my success or failure. Yes. It's not attached to my merit. It's not attached to the fulfillment of any dreams on this side of eternity. It's just this eternal thing that has, that God decided way back then, and it's gonna transcend time and space. And that's like, when you really put that in perspective, it makes all the deferred hope that has made my heart sick in different seasons. It makes it all worth it, because you're like, in the span of eternity and the time that I'm gonna spend with my Father forever, it's like, this life is, it really is just like a drop in the bucket.
It's a short part.
It is so short.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah.
I'm moved by that, because I think there was a season in my life where I switched. We're just really going to talk about it. I'm like, we're just having coffee, right? Yeah, just you and me. There was a season where I had this realization of like, once I realized life wasn't going to be easy, and even once you get what you want, you're going to want something else, then my perspective switched to, oh, this is actually all really worth it because of who Jesus is for me. Mm-hmm. I would never trade the years I've had with me and Jesus and for nothing at this point, for nothing. Mm-hmm. But I only knew that when I stopped expecting this life to be incredibly satisfying. Mm-hmm. Right? Have you?
Yeah, crossed, it's like when you that, yeah. It's like when you stop expecting this life to give you what it doesn't have the power to give.
Yes.
You know, even
and the pressure's
like,
off of everybody.
Yeah, it's like even the highest of joys, the highest of experiences, many of which come from the Father who gives every good gift.
Yes.
You're just like, you know, you count them all up, you measure it all up, you know, and it's just like at the end of the day, they can't give life.
No.
There's just really only one source of life. There really is one vine,
You know?
There really is one spring, that one well that actually holds water that can nourish and sustain.
Yes. And maybe this is part, I'm reading David Platt's book right now about American Christianity. Mm-hmm. And so maybe this is part of the way I grew up and privileged. I always had a place to sleep and always had food, and, you know, that I think I disconnected the part where Jesus said it's going to be hard.
Yeah. Expect difficulty.
Expect it.
Yeah.
I disconnected that. And once I replugged that into my faith, then I went like, oh, I should be grateful for every bit of this because I'm not promised any of the good.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm actually promised is the Holy Spirit and trouble. Right?
Yeah.
So I feel like what you wrote all through this album over and over, I mean, I am telling you, when I tell you I sob, I mean, over and over, what you've written in this album is Jesus is satisfying in a world that will never satisfy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I could have written that. I'm 42. I don't know that I could have written that at 35.
Mm.
And so it just says a lot. Did you grow up in Dallas? Is your whole story in Texas?
In Texas, yes. I grew up in Houston.
Okay.
But I moved to Dallas about 3 years ago.
Oh, you're so fresh to Dallas.
Yeah.
Okay, you've been in Houston the whole time.
No, I've been some of everywhere.
Okay.
Like literally all over the world.
Yeah.
chasing Jesus and what I felt he was dreaming up for me. It's like,
really?
Oh yeah. It's like I went to college to DBU for like 3 semesters, dropped out, did foreign missions for 2 years, and that had me all over the world.
Yeah.
Then I went to Bible college in Kansas City, and then I worked at a church in Mississippi for 6 years.
Oh, like IHOP Kansas City?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then I went, was on staff at a church in Mississippi for 6 years, and then I moved to Dallas. So I've just been all over the place.
Yeah, when you lived around the world, where were you with YWAM or who were you
with? I was
with,
it's an organization called Adventures and Missions.
Oh yeah, girl.
AIM.
AIM. Yeah. Come on, World Race.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that World Race?
That's
people?
World Race, yeah.
Okay, so they're
kind
great.
They're awesome. I mean, it's kind of like, obviously, there's been a lot of growth, so it's evolved some since I was there.
Yes,
but,
yes, this is not our stamp of approval of all the things. This is
no,
just
no,
what
they're
you
awesome.
Did. Yeah,
but,
they're awesome. Yeah. Okay, so you've lived all over the place.
Yeah, girl.
And then why Dallas?
So,
instead of here, if you're jealous of us here, why Dallas?
Well, I'm more so, let me be clear. I'm more so jealous of just like the beauty. You know, I don't know that I love Nashville culture itself. I'm just like, I'm like a slower paced type of person. Uh-huh. I like just like small community, I'm just like, so I think I might get lost in the whirlwind of Nashville as far as culture of what I don't know much about it, but from what I assume the culture is like here. But I moved to Dallas because I'm really good friends with Shane Bernard, Shane and Beth Bernard. Shane and I met years ago. We met in Kansas City at IHOP.
Yeah.
And we had close mutual friends. And you know, when you meet people and it's just like right away, there's like a kinship where you're just like, we have Yes. You're thinking how I'm thinking, you yes. know, like you treasure Jesus the way that I yeah. treasure him. You want to see him exalted, and you want to see him experienced that the way that I want to see him experienced. Yeah. And our hearts kind of speak the same language. So he's one of those relationships that was like clearly established by the Lord way back then, probably in like 2010. And we yeah. fell out of touch, and we didn't talk in years. And then him and Shane Everett came to the church that I was on staff at in Mississippi and did a concert wow. in like 2015, maybe. And that's when we sort of reconnected, and then they started bringing me out to Dallas to do stuff with them, whether that be like leading at the Linger Conference or leading worship with them at their church, my now church, Watermark.
Yeah.
So that's what kind of started the conversation of like, hey, maybe it might make sense at some point for me to live here and for us to build in ministry together.
Yeah.
And so I initially moved to Dallas to join Watermark staff.
Yeah.
And then about a year or so into that time, the Shanes grew their ministry, the worship initiative, into a label.
Yeah.
And so they just came to me with an opportunity of like, hey, we've been doing life and building building in ministry for years now. And it made a lot of sense for me to kind of jump on as the first artist to be signed. And so that's how I ended up in Dallas. And it's been awesome. I mean,
were you already writing songs back at IHOP days and in Mississippi? And have you been writing all along?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But this is your first full-length album? I Am Loved is your first full-length album?
Yeah, this is my first full-length record. I've put out random stuff throughout the years. I did an EP in 2019.
Yeah.
But really, it's been the past year and a half that I've been like endeavoring to be like, do like the full-time singer-songwriter thing. Because previous to now, I've just been like plugging away at my local church and just, and really content in that, to be honest. Like, yes. I'd never really aspired to like be an artist in the sense that what I'm doing right now. It's just like the story that God has been writing all around me that I kind of just fell into, you know? And so I'm just kind of like along for the ride at this point, to be honest, you know? I'm like, I'm just trying to be real faithful, like one step at a time as God opens doors and as God establishes relationships and as God reveals his heart and his purposes for my gifts and my story and what I have to contribute to this big kingdom thing that he's doing on the earth, you know?
Yeah. I tell people a lot that after my first book, I feel like my first book, this one, true, but after my first book, I feel like I got strapped to the front of a train and I was just like, well, here we go.
Yeah.
Like, it just is a very much like, I'm not in control anymore of any of this. When you talk about serving your local church, when people ask me about writing books or traveling and speaking or even doing this, interviewing and podcasting, I often tell them, man, for years I taught high school Sunday school and nobody knew my name. And you did the same. Like, there's something about, and I still believe that serving locally is the only way you actually serve globally in a successful long-term way. Because there are people listening that want to be musicians like you and want to be like Beth and want to be like Shane and Shane, and they're serving in their local church. What's the merit and what's the reason for staying focused in your local church versus running hard after a public thing? Y'all, I love when my Thrive Market box shows up at my door because it means some of my favorite snacks and cleaning supplies have arrived. And I didn't even have to leave my house. Thrive Market has these protein shakes that I like am addicted to. Plus, I'm on a bit of a gluten-free journey, as you know. So they have a ton of gluten-free snacks that I love, like all the Simple Mills crackers and Siete chips. I save money on every order. There is a deals page that I always check out almost daily. It's embarrassing. And I typically save about 30% on every order. Here's the other thing I love. Thrive Market only allows trusted top quality ingredients while restricting 1,000 plus harmful ingredients like artificial flavors, high fructose corn syrup, and more. So whether you're looking for organic kids snacks or low sugar alternatives or high protein essentials, you can curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks and trust that you're getting quality products so you can shop worry-free. Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun. thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun. Y'all, we all love something that is customized to us. Getting our favorite outfit tailored to fit just right, getting a custom piece of art for your house, listening to a playlist that's customized for us based on what we like to listen to. So why not use custom hair care? We all have different hair textures and types, and switching to a custom hair care routine has been so helpful for me. Like, my hair looks healthier and shinier. Plus, Pros also has custom skin care, which is so great because we definitely all have different needs for our skin too. With Pros, it is all about personalization. You do their in-depth consultation and they come up with your made-to-order products. There are millions of possible formulas, but only one is uniquely yours or mine. Pros isn't just better for you, it's better for the planet. They're a certified B Corp, they're cruelty-free, and they're the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. Pros is so confident that they will bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial of 50% off your first subscription order, you guys. Just go to pros.com/thatsoundsfun so you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/thatsoundsfun. That's PROSE.com/thatsoundsfun. Okay, picture the thing that you've always wanted to learn. Maybe it's how to play chess or creative writing or gardening. Now picture learning that thing from the person who's literally the best at it in the world. That is what you get with MasterClass. MasterClass is such an easy way to help you learn more about something you're interested in. You can seriously find classes on everything from turning your passion into achievements with cultural icon Martha Stewart to principles of improv from Amy Poehler. Are you kidding me? Y'all, I did a cooking class with Gordon Ramsay. And it was so much fun. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best and become your best. MasterClass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with over 200 plus of the world's best. For just $10 a month, an annual membership gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And you can access MasterClass on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Don't waste another minute to start your learning journey with MasterClass. Right now, our friends get an additional 15% off of any annual membership at masterclass.com/soundsfun. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/soundsfun. Masterclass.com/soundsfun.
I think what the Lord really established in my heart through the years that I served on staff at a church, it was two churches back to back. First, it was
always worship.
Okay, but heavy emphasis on discipleship, raising up and developing singers, vocalists.
Wow.
There was always a very pastoral element. So I never felt like in either church, I never felt like just the music girl, like show up and do. It was like during the week, I'm having to have like pastoral meetings and like really care for people and really shepherd people and like really like come alongside and support and like do whatever I can to give people the tools to live full lives of devotion to Jesus, you know? And I think those years did bring a lot of perspective where you just realize that like God's just after people, you know? Yeah. It's like, I don't know what it is about us that we like tend to glamorize certain environments and certain contexts and certain platforms. And certain, like we create all these categories and all of these compartments. And it's just like, God is just after people. Yeah. Like, it's like he's after the people in the small middle of nowhere towns who are just your salt of the earth, just like real simple folks living their life, loving their families, loving their neighbors. Like God is just after pursuing people. And it's like, I think throughout those years where I got to just like be in a sense like nameless and faceless and kind of hidden, I think the Lord deepened my just affection for his people and my desire to like live on mission and to like, it's like, I think whenever I entered into local church ministry, I did have a perspective of my ministry of just like being the music girl.
Yeah.
And whenever they threw me in a position where they're like, no, you have to have a certain amount of pastoral meetings a week and you have to actually, you have to make hospital calls and go like pray with people who are losing loved ones and like that kind of like the hard, the real stuff, like the stuff where like all the rubber meets the road and you're like, are the things that we believe actually true?
Yes.
Are they true?
Yes. You know?
And so I think those years allowed me to kind of die to that. It allowed that dream of like being the person or being elevated in any way. It made a mockery of that, you know, because you realize this is where Jesus is at. You know, he's like, when you read the Gospels, this is probably where Jesus would have been. You know, he's like, he's moving into the heart. He's like, he gets down in the dirt. He's just enters into people's stories and enters into people's lives. And so for me, it's like at this point in my life, I'm just like, God, put me where you want me. Plant me where you want to plant me, because I believe that wherever you plant me, like you give me whatever it is that I need to like be able to bloom. It's like I can bloom wherever you plant me. If it's you writing the story and it's you doing the work, then I'm just like an instrument. So put me where you want me. So it's like if you want to put me in the middle of nowhere in Mississippi on staff at a church for 6 years, years. Yeah. Plant me there, and I'll stay until I think you're leading me to go up somewhere else. You know, if you want to put me on a platform at If Gathering, like, just help me be faithful to care for people, to serve people, to be on mission, to embody the love and the heart of Jesus, not just in the songs that I sing on the platform, but in the way that I interact and just enter into life and story with people. And like Paul talks about in Philippians, just like allowing my life and my resources and my everything to simply just be a means for the advancement of the gospel. Like, it really is just that simple.
Yes. I don't have a less cheesy phrase than this, but one of my prayer partners, like one of the people that I like go to pray things through with me and me for her. The other day she said she's working through something like this of what's public life look like for her family. And she said, I just know that the doors God opens, no one can close.
Yeah.
And the doors God closes, no one can open. Mm-hmm. And I thought, why do I not lean on that more? That is like, where's the balance? Maybe I'm asking you as my friend, where's the balance of like, ask, seek, knock, and don't quit knocking, and knowing that a door is closed, right? Like, that's what I'm wrestling with, not for me today, but in just like, oh yeah, both are from God.
Yeah.
You can't open a door he's closed. But also he says, be the persistent widow in prayer.
Yeah. I think it's really just like the posture from which we're asking,
right?
When it talks about God gives us the desires of our heart, you know, we've all heard that quoted sometimes out of context, but what I
often.
Think it's often, yeah, but what I think it's like, yeah, God gives us the desires of our heart when they're aligned with his, when they're aligned with his will and aligned with his word. And so it's like, it's the both and of like, being like fervent and fierce and praying hard prayers. I'm like all about like, I'm going to pray for miracles.
Dude,
I'm going to ask, I'm going to pray big prayers, but always checking like just the motivation and the posture of my heart. It's like, do I actually, when I break it down and I'm actually honest with myself, am I asking for whatever it is I'm asking for because I really truly desire to see God glorified to the uttermost? Is that what's motivating me to ask for? Is it just, so for me, it's just like taking stock and trying to discern like why I'm asking and just always kind of just being aware, you know, and make sure that my heart's contentment is truly rooted in the reality of who God is, who I know him to be, his character, his attributes, who he has been throughout history, for all the people that have trusted in him throughout history.
Right. I mean, so tell me what your personal prayer life is like. What is your personal devotional life like? Because you can't write songs like The Place Where I Belong. Mm-hmm. Excuse you, is what I have to say to you. Excuse you for writing that song that makes me cry. When I hear that, I think you've got to have this devotional life with God. You've got to have a devotional life with God.
Yeah.
What does it look like?
I mean, I wish I could say that my devotional life is like always on point. You know, I wish I could be like,
no one's 7%.
I wish I could say like me and Jesus are just like always locked in. Like
it's 4 a.m.
I'm like living, breathing, walking communion, you know, at all times.
Right.
So it really does just kind of ebb and flow with the seasons and kind of what's happening. But obviously there's always going to be an element of like consistently reading God's word and not just reading it to retain information or knowledge, but like pursuing encounter with God, you know? So sometimes in some seasons it looks like study with like, let me pull out all the commentaries and let me pull out the Charles Spurgeon commentaries and all this. And then some seasons it's just like slow, lingering meditation where it's just like, I'm just going to linger on one attribute of God. I'm going to linger on a phrase. I'm going to linger on just one verse, and I'm going to just spend, you know, an hour just like asking God, inviting God to come and speak to me personally through this.
Is that in the mornings? Are you a morning person for that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a morning person, and it is a discipline, truly, because like it just takes me a bit to to really like wake up, for my soul to wake up. But I really do like it's a game changer to like set the tone for my day and just like kind of start the day in communion with the Lord that kind of trickles down into.
Yes.
And it just heightens my sensitivity to the Lord's voice throughout the day.
All day long.
And it just heightens my awareness of his presence. And that's just always a prayer that I find myself praying that prayer almost daily. I'm just like, God, I just want to be really tuned into your heart. Yeah. I want to have like just a really keen awareness of like what you're doing, what you're saying. Like, I don't want to make my plans and go my own way. I want to live in an abiding friendship with you.
Yes.
And I want that to kind of flow out into every conversation, every effort of my heart. Like, let it spring from this ongoing conversation between the Father's heart and mine.
Yes. When you're out on tour, you're out on the Kingdom Tour last year. Mm-hmm. You tour Shane and Shane a lot. Mm-hmm. I see you at events all the time. We're in conferences or whatever. How do you keep a home and not home rhythm? How do you keep a not home rhythm that keeps you connected to God? Because for me, I have like my chair and my, you know, and so I've had to work on my not home rhythm. What is yours like?
Any, it's really hard to be honest.
It's hard.
Yeah, and I'm kind
of. Hotel rooms don't have good quiet time chairs.
No, or like tour buses.
Tour buses.
It's just like, I'm sorry, guys. I'm just going to monopolize this corner of the bus because I just need it, you know. So a huge game changer for me has been making a plan.
Yeah.
Especially when I was on the road. It was like I labored over this plan. I spent like a month before going out crafting like, hey, this is what I'm going to be studying. This is what I'm going to be memorizing. This is kind of what I want the rhythm to look like. And then not only did I make a plan that kind of like touched all parts of my life of devotion.
Yeah.
So like prayer, worship, reading the word, journaling, listening, all of that.
Wow. You wrote your own devotional.
Yeah, no, it was just a plan.
That's amazing, David.
And then I like shared that and submitted that to my community group and was like, hey, here's what I want to do.
Wow.
And I'm going to just lay it out and I want you guys to ask me about it. And there's just an established like level of accountability where my folks are like, hey, you said you're going to do this or you said you're reading that. What's the Lord teaching you? Or, you know, so I just hedged myself in.
Yes.
That's the thing. The plan doesn't have to be super convoluted and complicated. It just has to be consistent, you know?
Yes.
And so, because even over the course of tour, it's like, I realize, okay, this is too much. This is a little ambitious. And the Lord's like, you're so precious. I love that you want to, I
Thank
love
you for
that
trying you, to memorize Hebrews while you're on tour.
Yeah, seriously. I'm so extra sometimes, you know? And so it did kind of get dialed back some, but because I came in with a pretty intense plan.
Yeah.
I think I did a pretty good job in terms of like just like every day having a touch point with the Lord.
That is such good wisdom, because for our friends who are teaching school and they got to deal with spring break or summer versus school, or our friends who are stay at home parents, or you know, there's so many of us that have shifts in life for a season to go like, I know this is coming. So here's the plan I'm going to go ahead and write, and submitting it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that accountability. Listen, anything I hold myself accountable to by myself.
That's not a thing. It's not a thing. Like whatsoever. We are not accountable to ourselves. That's not a thing.
No, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I've said this on stages a couple of times, but I don't bring Oreos into my house unless my mentor knows. Right? Because I know there is no accountability if you're only accountable to yourself.
Facts.
And so I it doesn't mean Oreos are bad. It just means I need to know what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. Yeah. And someone else needs to know too.
Yeah.
Because it's the start of something else if I start keeping secrets in my life.
Yeah.
You know? So, okay, memorization. Do you memorize a lot of scripture? Is that part of the gig?
I do. It's a weird, strange thing, the way that God wired my brain. And I just discovered it really within the past like couple years where I'm able to remember a lot.
Really?
But the thing is, it's weird because I have a bad memory in terms of just like life stuff.
Right.
I forget people's names. I forget things people said to me just this morning. But for whatever reason, whenever I go to memorize scripture, there's just a lot of grace in it. And so for the past few years, I'll endeavor to do like whole chapters of, like, I did all of Romans 8 a few months ago.
Wow.
Yeah, and it took me like a few months of just like, I had a plan, I had a rhythm. And again, I also had like my community group was in on it. It's like, hey, let me, you know, I'm memorizing Romans 8, and every other week I'll just share with you guys what I've memorized.
Yeah.
And turning that into prayer, you know, when I'm memorizing something, I'm not just like in a rote way trying to download information. I'm trying to commune with God.
Yes.
And so I'm like turning those truths into prayer and like finding appropriate moments to like apply those truths in my daily life.
Yes.
I freaking love it. I like highly recommend 10 out of 10.
I spoke at a conference years ago, and the woman before me, her whole session was her just quoting Thessalonians.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is a thing where people are like, I mean, I grew up in church, so I knew about memorization, but she was alive in it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And I thought, why am I getting up and saying anything that I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Why am I not getting up and just saying scripture?
Yeah.
It's so much better.
I have this life motto that I'm like, especially as a creative, as someone who's like, produces resources for equipping and encouragement. I'm always like, the only words I know for sure that God endorses are his own. Yes. It's like, that's always going to be a best bet.
Yes, yes.
And so if I get it downloaded, you know, I know for sure I'm going to have something to say worth saying.
Yes.
You know, and yeah.
Do you know we have a new podcast this year called Let's Read the Gospels, where I'm literally reading 3 chapters a day.
No, that's
and
cool.
And so people can, and it's like 20 minutes. People can listen every day. We finish it in 30 days and we do it 12 times this year.
Wow.
So they're listening to February right now, but we're recording March. And the same thing happens when I, because I'm reading the exact same thing for the third time. We've read it in 3 different versions, but I'm reading it again and it's, and I'm having these moments where I sat at dinner last night with friends. We were talking about Jesus and talking about heaven. And I was like, well, there's this one part in the Gospels. And it's not because I'm doing deep study. It's because I'm in it every day. Right?
Yeah.
So there's just something about going back over and over the same thing. So someone wants to start memorizing scripture. Where would you tell them to start? Not all of Romans 8.
Maybe. Romans 8 is a party.
You be you.
Because it just encompasses like pretty much the full gospel.
The whole gospel's in that one.
Yeah.
I think one
of the early ones that I started with was Ephesians 1, because it's all about Christian identity.
Yeah.
It's all about all of the benefits and the blessings that come with being brought into a relationship with the Father because of the work, the finished work of Jesus, the sufficient work of Jesus. And I think it's pretty, the rhythm of Ephesians 1 makes it a little bit easier.
Okay, so. So your memorizing will start with Ephesians 1. I like that you didn't say start with John 3:16. You went, I still want you to do a chapter.
Well,
I mean, you to do Ephesians.
It's not that long of a chapter. It's not that long.
Yeah. And if we do a verse a week,
you'll be done
in a couple of months.
It's like, figure out a pace that works for you.
Yeah.
There's no template.
Yeah.
There's no perfect model besides to just like do it.
Just keep
and then
doing it.
Figure it out by doing it.
Yeah.
Don't let the intimidation of it stop you from starting somewhere.
Right. And, I think that is what it feels like. It feels like, well, if I'm not going to memorize the Bible, where do I start? Mm-hmm. I know these little. And so I think that's such a good encouragement to like think about a chapter. Think about Ephesians 1 as a great place to start. Or if you're reading the Gospels, pick a Gospel chapter and go for it.
Yeah.
When you're writing, how often are songs pulled from? Okay, I read this morning and I've been thinking about, does that happen a lot?
Yeah, for sure. I think I'm typically writing out of what I'm reading at the time.
Yeah.
But there are, like, it depends if I'm, like, writing for a specifically. Or, for example, I'm writing for my next record right now.
Yeah.
And I have, like, a pretty hedged in just kind of overall theme of what I'm. And so I'm trying, right now, I'm kind of, like, in study mode of pulling specific passages.
Yes.
And
it
so,
is just like writing a book. You're just singing it instead of saying it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I just literally will just, like, open up, just like a normal Bible study. Just open it up, see what the Lord says, see what stands out, see what's highlighted.
Yes.
And God's so faithful and he's awesome. It's like something always, there's always something, you know.
Dude,
the Holy Spirit is always
book,
speaking.
Every story matters. Everything that happens, I'm like, oh, that probably matters.
he's just always speaking if we're listening. Yeah.
Are you doing IF this year?
I am going to be IF.
Don't you love IF?
I do.
It's so special. You know what I loved? This is me being selfish. Those couple of years where it was all streamed and it was just us in a room and y'all just leading worship over there and us just sitting over here and there was only 40 people there. I loved it.
I did not love that. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, tell me why.
You're talking about during COVID?
Yes.
Well, because
so
when you're leading worship, you kind of like... You're feeding off of what's happening in the room. You know, it's like you're trying
to
discern.
There's 20 of us.
Yeah, and I'm the type of worship leader. It's like, I'm not a fan of just like working the plan. I'm like, what's the fresh new thing that God's trying to say and do in this unique moment in this with these unique people?
Yes.
And so just like leading in front of a camera, obviously God is moving and like, you know, encouraging and stirring hearts behind the screen. But it's just like, it was pretty tough.
It'll be better this year when there's an arena full.
People in the room.
Yeah.
And we're doing it at my home church, which is going to be fun.
Yes. I mean, Watermark, I cannot say better things about Watermark. I just love how they encourage artists and the way they serve Jesus and that they're hosting things like this. I just love it. That's so fun.
Yeah, it's their
Everybody
gift.
Will get to be there. And you'll get to just be on your home stage that you know.
And I'll get to sleep in my bed and
That's
not a hotel.
That's
and
it.
I live 3 minutes from Watermark, so I'm going to literally roll out of bed and show up.
Right.
And
it's,
I get to serve with people that I serve with every week as far as like production, on the production side. And it just feels like a little bit of a family affair.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm
love
excited.
That. Yeah. Are you going back out on tour soon?
No, I don't have any plans to go out on tour. I don't think
okay.
so. Yeah. I mean, I'm always traveling, but I don't have any like specific tours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like doing conferences. Is that what you mean? You always Yeah.
I do so many random things. I was just thinking about this the other day. Like the opportunities that the Lord puts in front of me, I'm like, this is just very random.
Yes.
And then you get there and you're like, okay, I see what you did there.
Okay. So talk to me about this. When an ask comes in, what's your process? Because we have like a Jesus-y process.
You have a Jesus-y process?
Yeah. Do y'all have a Jesus? I mean, you have to have a Jesus-y process to be like,
yeah, it's not, I mean, it's as deep as prayer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even like long prayer. It's just like, let me just sit with that for a second.
Yes.
I mean, that's the number one. And then there are like all these other factors that like, you're like, there are things that make it worth your time. I'm doing quotey fingers.
Yes.
And there are things where you're like, when you put it in the Tetris of all the other things you have going on, it doesn't make sense. They're like the logistical side.
Yes.
But mostly it's just like, Lord, is this something you have?
Ours is kind of the opposite, where there's a couple of filters it has to go through. Mm. And if it doesn't go through those filters, then I am not the person God has for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I think so often people want you or I to be there when there is someone in their community that is better, that is better than you or me. And so once they get through a couple of filters of like, I'm available then, that's that feels good and right, blah, blah, blah. And then is when I go, what does my gut say? Mm. What's the Holy Spirit? And every time it's a yes, when I get there, I have the moment you just talked about of like, oh, this is why this was a yes.
Yeah.
If it's sometimes it is one conversation. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, oh, the Lord flew me out here for this, for me and for the other person. Mm-hmm. But man, have you ever done the no's when they should have been no's? You said yes.
When
and
it
you get
been
there
no.
and you go,
oh, yeah.
I am the person.
For sure.
Oh, me too.
And because he's kind,
yes.
he always is moving and doing something.
Yes.
But yeah, that's happened multiple times.
Oh, my gosh. Where I go like, I knew this was not right for me. And here I am missing a surprise. I mean, I missed a wedding, like a surprise wedding. And I knew before that the Lord had been like, that's a no. And I've been like, but I need to go.
Yeah.
And I was like, he will tell us.
Yeah, he will.
He just always will tell us.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful. Okay, what do we not talk about that we need to make sure we cover?
I don't know,
What's
girl.
In your heart? What do we not say?
What's in my heart?
If we had time today, where are we going to go eat? What are you and I having to eat?
What are we going to eat?
Are you a taco person?
It's weird for me to think about food when I just ate because I'm like stuffed.
What'd y'all just have?
We had Moe's.
Okay, great. Mexican food forever and always for me.
I mean, yeah. But I'm like, I'm obsessed with Asian food. Like literally Japanese food, Korean food, Vietnamese food, Thai. Like it's like if I have my preference, I can just eat Asian food every day. Ramen.
Yeah.
There was a season of time where like literally a couple months where I ate ramen like 5 times a week.
We used to do Noodle Monday where we went to the farmer's market and we were like, it's Noodle Monday, everybody. Let's go eat noodles.
Yeah.
And we went and had ramen, made it when it bowl and roll
at
the Nashville farmer's market.
I just love like foreign and like diverse like flavor profiles and my least favorite food is like American. I'm just like hot dogs and burgers. I'm like, that's whack. Like,
listen, we don't talk bad about hot dogs here on this show. Ma'am, we respect what is due its respect. And hot dogs need not be disrespected on this pod.
They're probably gonna be eating hot dogs in hell.
I know. You're like, Annie, I hate to tell you, the actual food of hell is hot. I hope that's not true. I will miss them with deep passion. But fried cheese, you're out on fried cheese?
It's just so basic. Like, why are Americans so basic and boring?
It's also Italian.
Oh, well, that's true.
We also get mozzarella sticks.
Not Italian, though.
The Italian. So, okay, but you're thinking like fried cheese balls.
I'm thinking like a Sonic mozzarella stick.
Okay, yeah, that's not the real deal. That's not what you're going to get at Olive Garden. That's not the level up that you're going to get at Olive Garden. Yeah, you're right. You're right. So, okay, so we would go find Asian food somewhere.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, great.
For sure.
I'm glad to know, because in future, that's what we need to do.
Yeah, if we were to leave here and go lunch today, we would go to Korean food, and we would spend most of our time you telling me your story, because I don't really know much about you. That's what I would want to do today.
Right.
Yeah.
We will do that soon.
Okay, great.
I would
have
love
your
to
people.
Do that too.
I'll have my people call your people.
I mean, the other option is maybe we could do phone numbers later when we're not live on the pod. But I think we have them. We'll check.
Okay.
Okay. Is there anything else I want to make sure to ask you? I mean, will you just come back when your album comes out again, or anytime?
I mean, anytime you want to have me, I'm here.
I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah. I love Shane and Shane so much. I'm so glad you're with them.
They're the best.
When we talk about, and I think Beth Bernard, well,
she's my bestie. You know we're like inseparable.
Yeah,
you know we're obsessed with each other.
I watched it.
When we were in Colorado?
Lost Valley, yes.
It's a problem.
She's amazing. I love her so much. She was such a gift on the show. But what I see in their lives is what I hope is true of you and me. And when we've done this for 25, 30 years, is that that we are still faithful to Jesus.
Yes.
And so I'm like, man, I will watch Shane and Shane. I'll watch Phil Wickham. I'll watch some of these guys that and women like a Beth Moore or Jenny, who are like long obedience in the same direction. Mm-hmm. That is who I want to be. Mm-hmm. So
same girl.
I'm also probably gonna eat mozzarella sticks sometimes, but I'll keep it in the hot dogs for sure before we get separated from them for eternity.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, the last question we always ask, Davey, is because the show is called That Sounds Fun. Tell me what sounds fun to you.
Ooh, what sounds fun? Okay, so there's this Sarah Groves. Do you know Sarah Groves?
Uh-huh.
She's my all-time favorite songwriter
yes.
of all time. She has this song. She has a line that goes, "And I wish all the people I love the most could gather in one house and know each other and love each other well." That is the dream of my heart. It's yeah. like I just have so many people that I love so deeply that have had such a profound impact on just shaping and forming my heart and my love for Jesus. And they're just spread really all across the world. And so what sounds fun to me, that one of the main reasons I'm excited about if I ever get married one day, I'm just like, I just want everybody in a room.
Yeah.
I just want you guys to know and love each other. I want you to experience Jesus in this person the way that I experienced Jesus in this person.
Yeah.
So that sounds real fun to me.
That's how my birthday parties, I'm like, if we've met, you're welcome.
Yeah.
You are welcome to come because I want everyone to meet everyone. I feel the exact, right? How do you feel about the Enneagram?
Love it.
Okay.
Can you guess my number?
I was going to ask if you're a 7. Are you a 7?
I do get mistyped as a 7.
Yeah. Are you a 3 then?
No, I'm not a 3.
A 4?
I'm a 4.
Sweetness.
What is four? That? What do you mean
you
sweetness?
Your tender heart. I have a heart of steel.
No, I am a fragile soul. I confuse people because I am like I have strong opinions. I have an outer personality. I'm real demonstrative and passionate.
Yeah.
But I cry. I'm just like, I cry a lot. I'm very governed by my emotions. I'm very prone to feel like an alien from outer space that nobody understands.
Yes.
I have a fundamental desperation for belonging. And also on the other side of that, I don't want to be like anybody else on the planet.
Right, right. Don't say I'm like you, but tell me I can be
with
you.
We're just confused.
Yeah, it's great. You know, 7, I identify as a 7. 7s and 4s looked a lot at like the same as kids. We both had too many feelings for our bodies.
Okay.
And 7s run from them and 4s swim in them.
Okay.
Is what it is. Things that happens as you grow up. Isn't that interesting? So you and I are, it explains a lot to me about us naturally like magnetizing, because that's what we did in Colorado too.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I want to be where Davey and Beth are. Wherever they are, I want to be. And part of that is probably this, that we're both like, you have a lot of feelings? Me too. I have so many feelings. And I'm learning not to run from them, so let me swim in them too.
Yeah, girl.
Okay, your What Sounds Fun sounds really fun. I'll be there.
Yeah, you're invited.
Thank you. I'm coming. Thanks for doing this. I love you. I love being your friend.
Oh my gosh, please be my
so
friend.
Grateful for
this
your
is
work.
Such an
it's
honor.
Done, man. It's done. Oh, you guys, don't you love her? I know. Okay, be sure to stream her album, I Was Loved, just constantly this weekend. Wherever you love to listen to music, open it up, stream this album. Prepare yourselves. A couple of these songs are really going to get you right in the old ticker. I'm telling you, you have been warned. And make sure you follow Davey on social media. Tell her thanks so much for being on the show today. So, okay, we heard what sounds fun to Davey, and you know what that means. Now we get to hear what sounds fun to one of our friends who's listening just like you. All right, Heather, you know how this goes. Because the show is called That Sounds Fun, tell me what sounds fun to you.
Hi, I'm Heather, and I'm from Nashville, Tennessee.
Neighbors!
I just moved to Nashville in August, so.
Congratulations, welcome to town. Okay, sorry, go ahead. What sounds fun to you?
So all of my friends kind of live all over the United States. So if I could have like all of us together at like a big condo or house or something for a long weekend and just play games and catch up, that would be a lot of fun.
Yes, are you a board games person?
Yes, very much so.
Okay, top 2 board games that everybody should have at their house.
Ticket to Ride.
Yes.
100%. Any of the Ticket to Ride games. And then any card game. Like, I really like card games as well.
Are there a lot of Tickets to Ride?
Yeah, there's at least 10 of them, I think. I have 6 of them.
What? You have 6 of them, Heather? That's amazing. Yeah. Wait, so is it like Monopoly where there's like different versions of it? Or is there different places?
Yeah, so it's different areas of the world. So it's like Switzerland, Africa, Europe, United States, all those different
ones. Which is your very favorite?
Switzerland, probably, because I got to go there last year. And so to have a game that I kind of recognize the area is really fun.
That is a brilliant answer. I'm going to go look up Ticket to Ride Switzerland on Amazon today. Great answer. That's so fun. Oh, that's a good answer. Okay, if y'all need anything else from me, you know I'm embarrassingly easy to find. Annie F. Downs on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the places you may need me. That's how you can find me. And I think that's it for me today, friends. Go out or stay home and do something that sounds fun to you, and I will do the same. And today, what sounds fun to me, in honor of our podcast producer, Johnny, What sounds fun to me today is seeing the Philadelphia Eagles win the Super Bowl on Sunday. Go Birds. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday with Noah and Ali Shanaki. Y'all are going to love them. Okay, y'all have a great weekend. Go Birds. Go Chiefs. We'll see y'all then.